Today on The Balanced Word from Dave Rolf.
The biggest justification that there is for destructive gossip is, well, I need to protect other people. Be careful, because that can come back to destroy you ultimately. You'll be hoist on your own petard if you do that kind of thing and think you're the person that needs to keep everybody aware and posted of all of the dangers that are out there. I'm amazed when people think that their main calling in life is to tell other people how bad other people are.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
What goes around comes around. You've probably heard that expression, if not said it yourself a time or two. And it's a way of saying a person's actions, good or bad, will often have consequences for that person. And today on The Balanced Word, we'll see it really is true as we open our Bibles to Proverbs 26. So before you lash out in anger, try to maliciously hurt another person or even turn bitter over an act committed against you, consider what God's Book of Wisdom has to say about all this. Here's Dave Rolf.
You know, when I was a kid, one of my favorite cartoons was Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. I mean, today it's probably not politically correct, because if you didn't see it, this coyote was devising all these really complicated ways of trying to kill a roadrunner so that he could eat him. But every one of them backfired on the coyote. So he would have an anvil hanging there with some food at the bottom of it, and the roadrunner would just come along and eat the food and walk away, and the coyote would go, what's wrong with this? And boom, the anvil would fall on him, or the piano, or the safe, or whatever it was. It was really, actually, it's the kind of thing that is at the core of almost all slapstick comedy. That ironic sort of, wow, you're trying to nail somebody else, and you end up getting nailed in the process. Things blow up on you. It comes back to bite you. In Proverbs chapter 26, we see a verse where Solomon talks about just that. Proverbs 26 and verse 27, very simple verse. And I've entitled this message, What Goes Around Comes Around. He says this, Proverbs 26, verse 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. It's the idea of you do something against someone else, and it's going to come back, and it's going to hurt you, just like the coyote. If you are a malicious person who wants to destroy other people, ultimately it can destroy you. Shakespeare in Hamlet coined the expression, he'll be hoist in his own petard. A petard was an explosive device they would use to try to blow up a door to get through city walls. And to be hoist would be to be blown up. And it's like, you're blown up by your own bomb. In the Bible, most of us remember the story of Esther, where there was a bad guy, Haman, who just hated this little Jew, Mordecai. And he was constantly trying to devise ways of getting even with Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't respect him the way he wanted to be respected. So at one point, the king had asked Haman, what do you think the king should do for a guy who he really appreciates? And he goes, well, I think you should have somebody haul him on a cart and go around and have someone shouting ahead, here's a guy that the king loves, wear the king's coat. And just he made this whole big plan, and the king goes, great. Why don't you do that for Mordecai? You pull him around and you go ahead of him and do it. And it's like, like the coyote. I can't believe it. And finally, he built a big gallows. And his plan was to hang Mordecai on the gallows. But you know the end of the story. He ended up being hung on his own gallows. And so often in life, it's that way. When you really would love to see someone else get hurt, and it ends up hurting you instead. But the question is, if, as Solomon says, you dig a pit, you might fall into it, you roll a stone, it might roll back on you. So If we want to live life successfully, how can we avoid being the kind of people who do stuff against someone else and have it come back to bite us, have it destroy us? And in this passage, we look at these verses surrounding verse 27, and we get some ideas. So let's just kind of look at these verses, beginning with verse 23. He says, "Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross." Fervent lips with a wicked heart. Fervent lips refer to somebody who's really passionate, who feels strongly about something. But the wicked heart indicates that this person who feels so strongly hasn't spent a lot of time in personal reflection. We can easily convince ourselves that I feel strongly about this and I have every reason to, I have every right to. Not really understanding ourselves and asking ourselves the question, wait, why am I so worked up about this? It's always like Psalm 139, it's always a good idea when you're feeling anxious to say, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, test me, and know my anxieties, and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." When we get worked up, the smartest thing for us to do initially is to ask ourselves, why am I letting this person get to me this way? What is it about this situation that really makes me this angry? Because when we get all blown out of proportion, righteous indignation, oh, that just really, our passion detects that we probably don't really understand what it is in us that allows this other person to irritate us so much. So when you feel that strong emotion, it's a good chance to go, what does this tell me about me? Why is it that I'm having this sort of a reaction? But to fail to do so is to end up with very self-destructive behavior. You may destroy somebody else in the process. You know, there's a word, malice or malicious, and it refers to wanting harm to someone else. It's the feeling that you get when somebody just goes flying by you on the road and you're really hoping later to see them pulled over to the side of the road. You even want to help out, call 911, hey, I'm just telling you, this guy looks drunk and he's driving really fast. Or, you know, if you're really evil like me, you'll be like, I hope I just see that he goes off the side and isn't injured at all. But it's like, why do you feel so strongly about what you feel? And Solomon would tell us that, man, just because you're passionate, you'd better look deep within your heart and ask yourself, why do I feel so strongly about this? But to allow passion to rule and to fail to reflect on what's really going on in your heart is one of the ways that you'll end up setting yourself up to be hoist on your own petard. I like that expression. But it's one of the ways that you'll know, this rock I'm rolling, it may come back on me. This may come back to bite me. So then if we read on in verse 24, he says, "He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself." He's fooling himself. "When he speaks kindly, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly." Another warning sign that you're getting into this kind of territory where you're waiting to crush the roadrunner is when you have hatred or, you know, anger and bitterness towards someone, and yet you're in denial about it. When somebody's veins are popping out on their neck, but they're like, "I'm not mad." "Why are you so mad?" "I'm not mad." As soon as you start lying to yourself and you don't say, "No, I don't like you. And you can say this to me at the door after church, but I'd rather have people say, you know what, I really don't like you, rather than to say, you know, I'm telling you this because I really love you, but here's why I actually don't. See, that's that's what we do. We have this hypocritical sort of thing where we feel like we can't say what we really think, so we have hatred, and at the same time, we have denial. We talk about someone and we go, you know, I love them, but they're a nice guy, but they're a total jerk most of the time. And we play this game with ourselves where we're not being honest. If you can't be honest about other people, you really aren't being honest with yourself either. And sometimes it's just like, look, if you hate somebody, you don't have to say you love them. You don't have to be in denial. There's a Bob Dylan song where I think it's Positively 4th Street, where he talks about somebody and he says, you see me on the street, you always act surprised. You say, how are you? Good luck. But you don't mean it. You know as well as me you'd rather see me paralyzed. Why don't you just come out once and scream it? And that's the feeling of like, can you just be real? Can you just tell the truth? Don't fool yourself and try to fool others, because people can see hatred looks like hatred. Anger and bitterness, that's exactly what they look like. And you will never be able to address it until you can at least call it what it is. When you live a deceptive life, you will end up doing things that you never thought. Oh, I didn't really mean it that way. I didn't mean it to come out, you know, as anger and bitterness. But it does. It ultimately always comes out, and a lot of times it's going to come out at you. A lot of times it's going to end up, you may hurt another person, but you're going to hurt yourself even more than that other person if you're in denial just about the obvious truth. And then we have verse 27 that we already read, dig a pit, fall into it, roll a stone, it'll roll back on you. Then verse 28, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Now it's not only speaking hatred, you know, while speaking, you know, supposed love, but now it's getting into the area of lies. Now you're not only lying to yourself about what you really think and why you feel that way, but now you start to exaggerate about the person that you hate, the person that you're angry with. And we all do this. When somebody really ticks us off, one of the first things that we do is we take what they do and we blow it up a little bit. So people come and tell you, well, you said this. You're like, wait, I didn't exactly say that. You're kind of twisting it a little, but that's what we do. When we have hatred, when we have anger and bitterness and this kind of, you know, I am so offended because you're not doing what I want you to do. The next thing we do is we take what somebody does and we just expand on it a little bit. Usually we don't just totally make up something that isn't true. The political season is a good time to see this, where all these things are being said and then everybody goes, you're just making that up. Now, people generally don't just totally make something up. They take something that's, you know, sort of true, and then they just expand upon it. Or they begin to make suppositions about what the motivations of the person is. Or, you know, maybe you have people in your life who just say, you know what, you aren't worth anything to me at all. But usually people don't do that. They treat you in a way, they show you in subtle ways, and you just go, it's like, you don't care about me at all. Now, maybe they just don't approve of what you're doing, or maybe they just won't do what you want them to do. But as soon as we begin to justify stretching the truth, as soon as we, as he says, a lying tongue hating those who are crushed by it and a flattering mouth, we begin to say gushy things in a positive way when in reality it's not the way we feel at all, now our integrity is being further compromised. And now we find ourselves in a situation where, combined with passion without reflection, combined with hatred and denial, you take lies and exaggerations and you justify them and you say things that are completely contrary to the way you're really feeling. Now you become so blinded, and we all do this, we can become so blinded that we're shocked when it backfires. We're just absolutely ashamed and mortified that I had no idea that it could ever come to this. I mean, there are people, I think, that they're in a relationship that's just horrible and nothing honest or real about it. And then over years, all of a sudden it's like, what do you mean you're leaving? What do you mean it's over? And they're completely shocked because we live so much in denial that the behavior that we exhibit ends up resulting in something that we're completely blindsided by it. It's so important that we live with integrity and that we make it possible for other people to have integrity toward us. That when somebody says, I'm really angry with you, or when somebody says, I don't like you very much right now, that we not send a message that says, don't you ever tell me that again. See, ultimately, that will destroy us. Now, in all of these things, it's really important for us to acknowledge that with this warning that Solomon gives us, we all have this problem at one time or another. For every one of us, we are doing certain things that though we would deny it, the truth is what we are saying, what we are doing is really designed in one way or another, unless you're just a better person than anybody I know. And I see some people here, I'm like, yeah, they probably never, you know, like Al say, he probably would never do this. But most of us, we would like, yeah, this is a habit that we can so easily fall into, and we can be so destructive to ourselves, probably even more than the way that we destroy other people. But it's a battle that's going on in our own hearts, and if we don't realize what the battle is, and if we don't understand how it works, then we are setting ourselves up to have the rock roll back on us, to fall into our own hole. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, and I'll read it, you can turn over there if you'd like, but Paul's talking about there's basically two ways to live your life. One of them he calls the works of the flesh. The other one he calls the fruit of the Spirit. He goes, and it's real easy to tell the difference. At any given moment, the way we are dealing with another person, it's going to fall into one or the other of these categories. The works of the flesh are evident, he says, which are, and this is Galatians 5:19, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. And we're like, yeah, get all the pervs. But then he goes, idolatry, materialism, sorcery, hatred, contentions, just fighting, arguing, jealousy, wanting what somebody else has, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, being divisive, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the flesh looks like. You ever do any of those things? It's setting yourself up to ultimately destroy yourself. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, just being nice, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. See, the choices that we make either put us in the realm of I'm doing what my flesh tells me to do, or the Holy Spirit is working in my life and helping me look like this. Whenever you are so bugged and angry at somebody that you really wish harm to them, that you're really saying things that will cause them to be denigrated in someone else's eyes, or you really want to bring them down, that's the works of the flesh. Now, what all of this comes down to ultimately, whenever you are just so upset that you are trying to hurt another person and it'll end up hurting you, a lot of it just comes down to a lack of patience. Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. After love, joy, and peace, then it's long-suffering or patience. And you might go, yeah, I am impatient with that person. No, call it what it is. You are actually impatient with God. Because for you to get worked up and feeling that somebody else deserves to be dealt with, to be put in their place, to be taken down, what you're really saying is, I don't think God's doing it. I want him to work, and I want him to work now. The fruit of the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, comes along and it says, it'll be okay. God's never in a hurry. God doesn't just say how high when you say jump, but he's working. How about letting God work on a person instead of you feeling like you either need to straighten them out or warn everyone else? The biggest justification that there is for destructive gossip is, well, I need to protect other people. Yeah, be careful, because that can come back to destroy you ultimately. You'll be hoist on your own petard if you do that kind of thing and think you're the person that needs to keep everybody aware and posted of all of the dangers that are out there. I'm amazed when people think that their main calling in life is to tell other people how bad other people are. It's like, really? That's the life that you wanna live? Jesus said, even the Father doesn't judge. He said, he gives it to me to judge. The Apostle Paul, one of my favorite passages in 1 Corinthians, said, here's what I do. He goes, I don't let other people judge me. In fact, I don't even judge myself. I'm going to let God judge me. But when we allow ourselves to believe that somehow we're the one that needs to point out the error, that we're the one that's going to save the world with all of our information, you're going to save the world a lot faster by living a life of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And to do otherwise, set yourself up for a lot of pain.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 945, and 1130. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. As we return to Pastor Dave, he reminds us who our battle is really with.
Remember, too, as Paul points out in Ephesians 6, our battle is not against people. He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you want to know what the evil intention of the devil is for you, it's to make you believe that who you're really fighting is people. Instead, your real battle is against evil itself, against the devil himself. He is lying to us, and he loves to make us not get along with other people. Because through doing all of that, we find ourselves stuck in a place where, you know what, we will all be destroyed. Because we will try to destroy each other, and the rock will roll back on us. We will fall into the ditch, and all of a sudden now we're going to be all destroyed, which is ultimately what the enemy of our soul wants. Our ultimate enemy isn't people, ever. It's the forces of evil that want us to destroy people. That's what, when people have hurt you really deeply, and I understand that, what that really was the powers of evil using that person who was only a sucker to try to destroy you. Because it's how we can be destroyed. We aren't allowed generally to be vulnerable to a direct assault from Satan. So he uses us against each other. And ultimately, if I destroy another person, I am destroying a part of me. If I am attacking some other church or some other ministry or whatever, you know what? It's the body of Christ. So it's like the right hand being mad at the left hand and shooting it. It's like, I am sick of these ears, so I'm going to cut them off so I can see. Ultimately, all I'm doing is destroying who I am. I'm destroying the whole body.
The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. We'll see you back here next time when our series Smarter Living continues.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And